Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norm. I trust you are happy and healthy. I hope you get this telephone message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents entered me into an all-female unicycle bike riding competition. The unicycle bike riding competition was a 5-mile trek around our small town. Unicycles are one-wheel bikes that consist of two pedals, a seat, and one wheel. Unicycles were invented in the 1800s. Norm, it takes a while to learn how to operate a unicycle, but once you've got the balancing issues mastered, unicycles are fun and easy to use. I like to ride my unicycle wearing only a halter top and hot pants, and in that way, my clothing doesn't interfere with my pedaling and balancing. I have very large jugs, so I always wear a sports brassiere. If my enormous sweaty goose pimpled fun bags were freed, they would flop around as I pedaled my unicycle, making it an impossibility to balance myself atop my unicycle. I've fallen many times. One time a car slowed down as it passed me, while I was pedaling my unicycle on the side of the road. Someone sitting in the front passenger seat reached their arm out the car window, and they tore off my halter top and brassiere. My center of gravity suddenly changed because my monstrous chest yams were unexpectedly released, and I lost control of the unicycle. Lucky for me, there was a Salvation Army store within walking distance, and I was able to buy an old 50s-era, cum-stained, bullet brassiere for 50 cents. Norm, 8 girls from my community entered the unicycle 5-mile competition. Some of the girls had been riding a unicycle since they were 5 or 6 years old. Norm, whomever crossed the finish line first, would be awarded a $250 check, and they would get a trophy with their name engraved onto it. There were 3 rules. Number 1, the contestant must ride atop the unicycle for the full 5 miles without any outside interference. Number 2, the contestant's feet could not make contact with the ground even once. Number 3, if the contestant fell off the unicycle, they were immediately disqualified. On the day of the competition, all the girls sat atop the seat of their unicycle at the starting line. The quaint, tree-lined 5-mile stretch of dirt road that encircled our town had been closed for the event. Norm, I knew I was going to win. I always know that I'm going to win with regards to whatever it is that I may be competing in. Just before the gun was fired, I waved and smiled at my parents and at my black half-sister, who were standing nearby. When the blank gun was finally fired, all the girls began pedaling their unicycle. Straight away, 3 girls lost their balance and fell off their unicycle. Another girl got her long hair caught up in the wheel of her unicycle. That left only 5 girls. Norm, I was 2 miles down the road when my unicycle seat was suddenly ejected from my unicycle. I heard a popping sound and a whoosh of air, and then I saw my bike seat traveling away from me at a high rate of speed. It was much like a fighter plane pilot ejecting himself from his plane. Norm, because my unicycle seat had been blown off, I had to sit atop the pipe that the seat once went into. While I was seated atop the pipe that was welded to the unicycle frame, I felt a sudden sharp jab to my genitals. And then I felt it again. But how? Why? Norm, while I was pedaling the unicycle, a long hard object rammed its way through the fabric of my hot pants and panties and it found its way into my tight fuck hole. It was a colossal dildo. I was taking dick. The freakishly big and veiny rubber dick was coming up through the pipe where the seat was supposed to be. While I pedaled, I moaned, and while I moaned, I pedaled. The rubber sex stump went in and out of my box hundreds, if not thousands of times. It was impossible for me to balance and pedal my unicycle while I was getting crammed by the Godzilla-sized rubber pussy impaler. My legs got limp, and though I tried to make my legs move otherwise, my gams moved in a bizarre, out-of-sync, awkward manner. Outwardly, I must have looked like an animal that had been shot with a tranquilizer dart. My eyes were rolled back, and my mouth was slack-jawed, as I gasped for the air that I needed to fuel my orgasms. My young bucking virginal torso hungered. Eventually, I went off the road, still moaning and coming. When I went off the road, I went over a cliff. I rolled dozens of times down a steep hill. While I rolled down the hill, my clothes got torn off. My giant bulbous breasts scraped deep twin 36 double D trenches into the dirt as my body slid down the hill. And then I blacked out. When I regained consciousness, a police officer told me that my unicycle had been altered so that an unknown perp could operate the dildo by remote control.
There was a remote control dick machine attached to your unicycle. I've seen this before. Usually the woman is found slumped over and dead while still seated on their bicycle. They've been fucked to death. You've told me that you take iron supplements. That's probably what saved your life. Iron is steel. The steel has been built up around your pussy, making it hard for anything to tear up your cunt. By the way, if I find your unicycle seat, can I keep it?
My unicycle had been rigged with cameras, pulleys, gears, wires, batteries, and an automatic vaginal lubricant dispensing system. Once the operator blew my unicycle seat off, the perpetrator dildoed the shit out of my snatch. Norm, my cunt was a tossed salad, and the massive rubber schlong was his salad tong. My unicycle hit a boulder, and it was destroyed. The dildo was never found. Norm, I walked bow-legged for a month after that incident. When my mother picked me up from the hospital, she said,
"I've had just about enough of your shit, young lady. How on earth could you get yourself off while you're riding atop a unicycle? When your father and I entered you into that unicycle competition, we saw it as a way for you to become engaged in something wholesome and fun. Your daddy knew. He told me that sitting on a seat of a one-wheeled bicycle would put undue pressure onto your hungry pussy, and it would turn your gash full on. He was right. Everyone at the competition saw it. You were full fucking on. What kind of a girl would take the seat off a unicycle and fuck the steel pipe where the seat was supposed to be while you're racing to a finish line? There's no prize money or trophy for you. Just humiliation for the whole family. When you get home, go out onto the front porch and get the eBay box lying near the door. In the box, you'll find a 1950s era rubber douchebag. It comes with a long vaginal insertion pipe and a big rubber squeeze bulb. Fill it with mommy's heavy-duty vaginal wash under the bathroom sink and blow out your cunt real good. When you're done, go to bed. You're grounded."
It was an awful moment. I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, be careful if ever you find yourself entered into an all-girls unicycle competition. You could take a dick. I did. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me for a moment? I want to smoke some shit. While I move my pointer finger and middle finger in circular motions atop my clitoris, while I lie atop my grandmother's cum-stained old spring mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
You see, you have to understand something. You have to understand that you're slowly being constricted around your neck. It's like those things in the Florida swamp. What are they? Boa constrictors? What are they? Whatever they are. The snakes that aren't supposed to be there in the swamps killing everything because nothing can compete with it and they didn't grow up with it. Boa constrictors, pythons, whatever they are, they're having a big problem. It's like that. You're being choked out. And how are you being choked out? You're being choked out because there's 6 billion women on the planet and all they do is play with themselves. They're playing with their genitals. They're playing sticky finger. They're playing stink finger. They've got shit jammed in their cunt and in their asshole. 6 billion of these things. And they're playing with their cunt. What happens when they play with their cunt? Well, their pointer finger and middle finger get stunk up like pussy. Now, you add a lot of these fingers inside a building, and the stench starts building up. The stench starts constricting you as a man. It starts feminizing you as a man, and you don't even know what's happening. Now you multiply times 2, 6 billion women times 2, because they have 2 fingers. What do you got? 12 fucking billion stink fingers out there covered in pussy, and you expect to feel well. You're not going to feel well. You're not ever going to feel like yourself again. You've been overtaken, man. The front door has been beat down with a telephone pole. It's down, the gate's down, and they're coming for you, and you don't even realize it. I don't know why I got a headache. I don't know why I've got blurry vision. Well, I don't know why my eyes are watering. I don't know why I'm trembling like I am. I don't know why sometimes my voice starts to make this stuttering sound, this staccato sound as I try to talk. Well, you're being choked out by a chick next to you. All the chicks in the building, 200, 300 in a skyscraper, and they've all played with themselves in the last 15 minutes. That's what they do. You know, in a fucking 8-hour shift, how many times they play with themselves? Well, it's every 15 minutes. 15, 30, 45, 60, that's four times a goddamn hour in an 8-hour shift. Four times eight. 8, 16, 24, 32. She's played with her cunt 32 times during an 8-hour shift just to get relief from the agony she's in because she actually has to work. There's Pussy Fingers next to you. Get out of the area. Here comes Pussy Fingers next to you. Get out of the area. Broadcasting the stink. It's like rabbit ears. When she spreads her pointer finger and middle finger, when she spreads them into a Y or a victory sign or whatever piece, when she spreads those, it's the antenna. And now the air gets between those fingers and the stink really gets broadcast out for you to inhale. You know, Norm, I haven't been really feeling good. I've been feeling weak. I've been feeling lackluster. I feel like I'm out of gas. I feel like I've lost my edge, like I'm not caring about succeeding or failing anymore. That's the stench of pussy. 8, 6 fucking million women, fucking 12 billion fingers, 6 billion women walking around. I made a mistake on that. And they're stinking up the area. Here she comes, and now she's going to pretend to try to talk to you in some kind of conversational way as she's standing next to you with her fucking stink fingers, her sticky fingers, her pussy fingers. There she is, and you're getting annihilated again. You're getting taken down again. It wasn't supposed to be this way. They didn't play with themselves every 15 minutes, four times an hour, and people could breathe then back in the 30s, the 40s, the 20s. They could breathe then a little bit better, but you can't breathe now because you're immersed in a deep fog that you can't see of pussy stink. You're going to say, how you come up with this stuff, Norm? I don't come up with this stuff. I've got years of research. I've got all kinds of fucking stenographic books. I got all kinds of algorithms. I got all kinds of fucking notes. I mean, I got a room full of this shit from pure study, and it's true, man. But it's not true for me. Why isn't it true for me? Because I live way up in the middle of nowhere in upper northern Michigan, 100 acres, and there ain't no overlapping stench of pussy in the property when I walk around. I can get fresh air, man. I can breathe. They don't smell pussy everywhere I go. It's wonderful. I'm not smelling pussy. The hungry fucking greed, the painful hunger of their fucking goddamn torso, looking for dick, looking for theirs, looking for money, support, success, fame. It all comes out in that stench of that pussy, and they've gotten smellier because it's now trying to get bigger. You know, the loudest person that makes the most noise gets the most attention, and that's what's happening with the stench of pussy. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because I'm up in the middle of nowhere. Nobody comes up here unless I tell them to come up here. If you're a fat fuck, if you're a goddamn big goddamn thing of fat, a big barrel of fat, a big vessel of fat, a mountain of fat, I don't want that. A mountain of pus, I don't want anything like that. So don't even think of coming here because you could get taken out. I've got a Glock, man. I've got a Glock, and I got the modification to the Glock. Don't come up here. I'm telling you the truth. But if you're size 3 or 5 and you got an old school ass and you've got big tits and you've got red hair and pale skin, now you can come up here. Now you could be the real thing, man. You can come up here. You're welcome to sample my 15.5 pounds of dick. Yes, 15.5 pounds. It's a huge dick. I've been saying it for years. It's not a joke. It's not some kind of thing I throw in for fun. Hey, let's talk about his dick. Dick joke. It's nothing like that. My dick is 15.5 pounds. I weighed it on my friend's cocaine scale. It was a mechanical scale years ago, and I weighed it on that. You should have heard the scale. Ka-kalunk. It just bottomed out. And that was at 15.5 pounds. It was a fucking coke scale. I mean, really, who's got 15.5 pounds of cocaine anyways? I mean, why would you make a scale that big? His sister saw it go down, and she came right over, man. Her eyes opened up. She came and became enlightened. She was a different person. She wanted some of Norm Augustinus is fucking meat, and that's what they want. They want meat, man. They want to put it down there. They want meat. They want it in there. dripping all goddamn long, undulations coming from the snatch, desire, the ids on full, they can't think, they probably can't think anyways. This is some kind of diatribe on women. I tell the facts, man. I don't worry about it. Why? Because I'm up here up north, and things are starting to happen for me. Big things are starting to happen. They're finally starting to come together. I don't know if you know this or not, but I do a lot of metal detecting up in upper northern Michigan because I know that there was all kinds of Apaches up here. Apache Indians that left the West. They never tell you this part. Because bitches were moving west, and they were killing everything in their path. From buffalo to beaver, it was all gone because they fucking wanted it. And they're moving west and they're wiping everything out. So Apache tribes moved to upper northern Michigan. They never talked about that. And they're still here. There's an actual reward if you can get a picture of an Apache encampment of their tents and all that in upper northern Michigan. If you can get that photo, it's worth like $100,000. And I've heard them playing war drums. I've heard them singing. I've seen the fires and I'm going to find that. That's going to be for me. I'm going to get that. I was born to get that. And I've been up here metal detecting. It's exciting, man. All of Michigan was nothing but fucking woods and Indians and rivers and brooks and streams and gold and glaciers and fucking volcanoes, all kinds of stuff going on. This is the place where you should be, but not near me. But this is where you should be. This is it. The Upper Peninsula, practically unexplored until people or something come from Chicago and start putting up $1 million homes, and it's not going to be so good anymore. Is it? $2 million, $3 million homes. So I've been metal detecting up here. And I'm so excited, I could barely sit down right now. I usually sit down, I've got my dick out, I've got some kind of drink in here. I'm fucking sitting here with no clothes on, I've got my drink. I've got my brass plate, it's the coolest plate, it's a brass plate with a picture of an elephant carved into it. I got my fucking roach in there, I've got my lighter ready to go. I can fire up, I can live the life I want, I can create the reality that I want because that's our given right. Create the reality that you want. Forget about trying to fit in. You're never going to fit in because bitches control everything you see. From the stores to the roads, you name it, they control it because all they do is consume, man. I don't want to consume nothing. I want to live. I want to expand, educate, elevate, whatever that phrase is. I want to do all that. I don't care about driving around looking for a fucking 18-ounce thing of Starbucks with 20 cups of sugar. This is what they have three times a day while they look for dick. I've recently been metal detecting. Fuck stick. It's exciting. It's exciting and new. It's like fucking love. I get this racing heart. My adrenaline starts going. I start shaking and shit. I've been recently metal detecting around these foundations, this place that used to be a home one time, and I like metal detecting around old foundations in upper northern Michigan. It would even be better in the upper peninsula. I like it because these foundations go back 150, 200 years or more. These were early colonial settlers coming to Michigan. These were chicks that you wanted to be around, man. This was their house. This is where she might have masturbated or taken a dick or made a dildo out of a tree, a piece of branch. These chicks were different than the sluts today. Sluts today, I don't know what they have. They follow one another each closely. They follow, they make themselves, they don't know what the fuck they are, where they're going, and don't know what they are from day to day. And they go into shock when they turn into an old bag of shit. But this damn house, this foundation, oh, it's exciting. It's so exciting because the possibilities are endless what you can find. From fucking gold to relics to antiques to bags of gold to fucking pussy scalps, all kinds of shit could be in there. Ivory, stuff from Indians, all kinds of stuff could be around this foundation because it's that old. And I know it's that old because I found a rock foundation, not a fucking, not a 2x4 foundation, not a 4x4 foundation, not a foundation made of logs. I found a rock foundation that was hand placed together, and it looked like they used mud, and the mud had kind of fossilized, mud and straws, mud and stuff like that, weeds, things like that you mix with the mud. And I have uncovered something so astonishing, so fantastic, so mind-blowing that I said to myself this: these fuckers never support this show. I'm giving them all these goddamn things, these gems they call it, this ways to make money, the ways to think, original thinking, the ways to fucking free yourself from the prison of what you're looking at right now, the ways to free yourself from this. I think, why do I do this? They've never supported this show. They never supported it, man. I'm dying for you, fuckstick. I'm lucky to be here. I spent 18 months in Vietnam and did the most horrible fucking things, and I'm still here. In a fucking Huey helicopter, I was a door gunner. Of course I was a door gunner. Because I want to extract everything I can get out of life. I want to extract every moment I can get out of life. The only way you can understand life fully is to understand death. And I was on a fucking Gatling gun practically hanging from the door, the slit open door of a Huey helicopter, an Bell H-1, I think it was called. It was incredible. I understand and I see what's going on. I have sight above sight. Now, I've unearthed something at this foundation that I believe is monumental. I've unearthed it. And I'm going to tell you about it now. I thought to myself, should I tell them this? Could they end up coming up here? Could they end up here looking for things and I find that I know this up here, harvesting for pussy fart bubbles, panning for gold, unearthing pussy scalps, metal detecting? Could they come up here looking for fucking old exploding bullets, Civil War bullets, like the 52 caliber Gardner bullet? It explodes, man. It's got fucking pewter and copper inside. It's got a core filled with explosive. That goddamn bullet's worth $100,000, and I might find that. I could be free of the rigors of this fucking prison, couldn't I? Just like you. Because where would you ever hear about anything like this anywhere else? I mean, look about you. You know what Michigan's thing is? Their fucking logo? Their state motto? If you seek a pleasant peninsula, look about you. And they're not shitting. I know the riches of this place. I know what I'm looking at. And brother, every time I go out in the fucking dirt and I say this, there could be something below my feet. Riches below my feet as I walk step by step by step by step. I may find riches. I may find something that will propel me into a different level where I could fully enjoy this life the way we were supposed to. Now, I've been fucking metal detecting around this old foundation, this home foundation. It's extremely interesting to me. I think of the chick that was in there, and she was so fresh. She was so vibrant. She didn't have a fucking half inch of HD makeup on. She didn't look like a dead person with her straight black ironed hair and her fucking black around her eyes like a walking zombie. She didn't look like that, man. She had pink skin. She had beautiful fucking blonde hair. She had long eyelashes. Her pores were not filled with tons and tons of makeup. And you get that when you marry her or hook up. Hey, look at your pores, slut. They're like goddamn pencil erasers. Why did I ever marry you? You disgust me. You look like a zombie, especially when I see you in the morning in bed, man. Why would I have done this? Why would you have done that? So I look at this foundation that way. I think of the chicken here making food. Making food, taking dick, her pure thoughts, her ideas of family, her hopes, her dreams, her desire, the idea that she had faith, all that around this foundation, unlike what you find today. All you find today, if you go into a woman's house, is 1 to 10 dildos, a sex machine, all kinds of pussy shrinking cream, all kinds of fucking bleaching cream from her shithole. It's all about her, man. So, I've unearthed something. And I'm excited. You're going to say, why would you be excited? What did you find? I found a typewriter. You're going to say, a typewriter? Wow. You found a typewriter. What of it, man? I'm going to go to fucking NPR. I'm going to go to some other recording right now that's hip. And they're all laughing around a microphone. Six people around microphones are all fucking laughing. They speak a total of 3 minutes and play some music. And they're out with 10 to 20 commercials. I'm going to go to that. Go ahead. I can see the fucking attraction of that. I've unearthed a typewriter. Now, it's not an ordinary typewriter. It's a very old typewriter. A typewriter that shouldn't be here, which showed me that the person in this cabin and the person in this early colonial home, they were a writer. They were interested in more. They wanted more. They were making writing letters, sending out letters. They were making possibly resumes. They were contacting people in high positions. They were writing to family and friends. That's what a typewriter was. It was a communication device to interact with other fucking people. Much more personal. You had your paper, your typewriter. You had to put the paper in the typewriter to roll it down. You had to hit each key. It was a very interactive process, and you were connected to the paper. It was like your vision, your person, your being, your entity was imprinted into the paper. It's not like a computer today or nothing like that. Every step of the way with a typewriter, you were interacting with whoever you're writing to. They could even smell you on the paper, possibly. They could see smudges on the paper or stain on the paper while you were eating or having a snack or a cup of coffee. That was the difference, man. On top of that, it was a work of art. You got the right, you got the ability, the opportunity to work with a typewriter that was practically handmade with brass parts and everything else, and lovingly assembled by people who believed in what they were doing, unlike today. So what about it? What about the typewriter? What of it, Norm? Well, here's the thing. It's an 1881 Crandall. I know about fucking metal detecting. I've been doing it for years. It's an 1881 Crandall typewriter. Now, what's different about this? A, this thing is in impeccable shape. It was covered. There was all kinds of leaves. I think it was deprived of oxygen. It was covered with leaves, and that keeps the rust and everything down. It was out of the sunlight. There's not much sunlight, by the way. It's a thick canopy where I live in the woods that I'm metal detecting in. You can't really see if it's a sunny day or not. It's just dark, and the trees are very close together. It's an 1881 Crandall. When I saw that, I almost shit. It's got inlaid keys. You know, the keys you type on with a typewriter. The QWERTY keys, the A, B, C, D, F, whatever you have to type. The keys are inlaid with mother of pearl. And the mother of pearl looks fantastic. It's unbelievable. Mother of pearl inlaid in the keys. 1881 Crandall. It's like one of the, it may be the first typewriter ever created. It was distributed on a bigger level for people to actually use. I think it probably was. I study all this stuff. Maybe the first. You're going to say, that's great, Norm. You found a typewriter, clean it up and shit. You can take it to some auction. You can do something like put it in some fucking bubbling water to get rid of the, make it like new, to paint it up, clear it up. Wow, what of it? Everybody does that, man. I restore radios. That might be something you're saying. Well, that's not what this is. The 1881 Crandall had a typewriter ribbon that was an inch and a half wide. You know how wide that is? A typewriter ribbon is a cloth, and it goes on, there's two reels. There's a reel on the left, a reel on the right, and then there's the typewriter ribbon, and it's got all kinds of ink in it. It's an inch and a half wide. They don't have inch and a half wide typewriter ribbons. This thing was made to last forever because it was so inked up. You couldn't dry that typewriter ribbon out ever, man. What of it, you're going to say? What, a typewriter ribbon? Well, here's the thing. If a chick was using that typewriter in this cabin, she was good looking. 36 double D, blonde hair, a little tiny waist, an ass to die for, not this big cottage cheese thing on the back of her ass that's gigantic. I don't know why anybody would want that. They somehow think it's sexy or something when they're young. When that bitch gets old, you'll want to fucking put her down, man. Her ass will be gigantic. Her lower spine, the pelvic area where the spine connects to it, will be nothing but arthritis. She won't be able to walk. The ass will get bigger and bigger. Why would anybody fucking sentence themselves to that kind of imprisonment in a house because you somehow think her gigantic arse is somehow attractive? It's not. Don't come near me if you've got a giant cottage cheese ass. I don't care if you're 18 years old. It's going to be huge. You're going to be huge. When you run out of youth at 35 or whatever, or 40 years old, nobody cares about your ass. Now you're dragging around a fucking big fucking steamer trunk of fat. Here you go. Wow, you're wonderful. No, that's not for me. I want a size 3 or 5 with an old school ass, and I want her hair normal, and she's coming at me, and she might have green eyeshadow on. Coming towards me, she's smiling, and she says, Norm, how are you? She realizes she's not a world shaker, and she was just looking for someone to spend time with on the planet. That's the kind of bitch I want. I don't want nothing like that. And if you come near me and you look like the bladder that I just talked about, I've got my fucking Glock, I've got my German Luger, I've got the Glock, it's got the fucking kit on it, the thing you can put on 600 rounds in a fucking minute, I will cut you in half. You say, would you really do that, Norm? Yeah. I got a fucking 55-gallon oak barrel here filled with goddamn handguns and ammunition. I got a box filled with Claymore landmines. I sneaked all this shit back when I was in Vietnam. I sent it all back. I sent the Claymore mines back, and I said, inside the Claymore mines, I spray-painted them white, and I said, caution, breakable items in it. It says dishes. Like someone was sending dishes. They were not dishes. They were Claymore mines. That's what they were. Anyways, so this fucking Crandall typewriter has a much bigger value than you know. And you're going to say, what bigger value? It has a bigger value than you could ever know with an inch and a half fucking typewriter ribbon that's still intact. Now, that chick in that house, the essence of her in that room, typing whatever letter with the hopes, dreams, desires, as she's transmitting, as she's broadcasting this letter, eventually hoping for an equals, something comes of it, and it makes her life better. But the essence of her, her DNA, her fucking pheromones, her pussy, it's all getting sucked into that goddamn ribbon because it's an inch and a quarter thick. Wide. It's an inch and a quarter wide. And it gets trapped in the typewriter ribbon. It's a time machine. It's a time machine with those people trapped in that typewriter ribbon, and I could bring them back. I could bring them back. It's the truth. How could you bring them back? I can bring them back because the essence of what she is, the pheromones, the DNA, everything got trapped on that typewriter ribbon. It was like a big magnetic cloth, a big waving wet flag, like she's hung something on the clothesline out in the backyard. It was wet and attracting everything onto it, and it's attracted everything in her life and their lives, and it's trapped inside this typewriter ribbon of the 1881 Crandall typewriter. Beautiful keys inlaid with fucking mother of pearl. I could sell the mother of pearl on its own for a couple of $100. They can turn into shit, turn it into jewelry, necklace stuff, all that. I could sell that. Maybe sell the mother, maybe make acrylic nails that are made of real mother of pearl. Chicks will buy anything. So I wrote my friend, Rapalunge. And Rapalunge at the Detroit Health Department said to me, yes, we think we can extract DNA from a typewriter ribbon. And I brought that up. I invented that. He says, yes, we think we can. Your idea is sound. He told his director and it went somewhere else. We think we can extract DNA. If you can extract DNA from a typewriter ribbon from a couple hundred years ago, well, the typewriter is 1881. I know that. If you can extract the DNA from this ribbon, you could bring this bitch back. Not in the form that she was, not in the same mind, not the same thing that was going on in her life, the situations, the day-to-day living and all that. You can't bring that back, but you can bring back a family member of hers that looks just like her. There she is. You kind of extracted her from the typewriter ribbon. She's not a dummy. She's not some kind of clone or robot. She's a person just like any other person you know, but there she is, an image, a mere image of what was once in that thing. In that cabin, in the foundation of this. And I thought, my God, this is another way to make money in the woods of upper northern Michigan or even the upper peninsula woods there. Oh, my Lord, I found another way to make big money. I'm looking to make big money. I'm going to make big money, man. I'm going to pull myself out of this trap, out of this fucking misery. It's not misery for me every day, I must say that. Mostly I'm wasted on Pinconning Paralyzer, 97% THC. Mostly I'm on that. I'm on my fucking all-wheel drive, six-wheeled vehicle. I'm usually on that, driving around the woods with a Superman cape on, no underwear. And sometimes I don't even wear shoes, but I got these shoes that I was given by a woman up here, an Indian I know, an Apache, and her name is Running Flaps. She gave me these shoes. They're handmade. She's Apache, and I know that Apaches are up here, a tribe virtually undisturbed since they moved from the out west when they were being persecuted by white bitches coming in these goddamn covered wagons, and they were getting the shit out of there like everybody should get out of the way. They come in, extract everything, suck everything fucking dry, and they move on to the next area, the next hot thing. And they sucked everything dry out of that. I know what you're probably thinking. You're going to say, well, Norm, you must be, have trouble when you're with a woman, when you're on a date, when she come over. Not at all. They understand this is a philosophy, is a truth, is some kind of fucking indexing in some kind of book that you can reference and go to on page 38, on page 41, on page 77. They know it's there, and they know it's you're pulling from that. So, imagine the money that I could make. Imagine the future that I could have. I just got to sell this idea. I got to show this to major scientists, and I'm going to be on the fucking cover of every magazine across America. They're going to see this. They're going to say, meet the man that created a woman from the fucking typewriter ribbon of this 1881 Crandall with inlaid keys of mother of pearl. Meet the man, and the woman's going to be sitting right next to me. I don't know how old I'll be. Maybe she'll be 11 or 12 or something before I'm dead. 11 or 12, a clone of what her mother looked like. Different mind and all that. right? But there she is, the man who brought her from the fucking typewriter ribbon, who extracted her from the typewriter ribbon. There she is, man. Behold, it's incredible. And I know this to be true. Now, later typewriter ribbons weren't so big. They're like a half inch in width, maybe even less than a half inch. Typewriter ribbons, that's where the key hits the typewriter ribbon. It's inked up with black, and whatever letter, when that key came up and struck on the paper, that's what it would do. It'd strike and hit this typewriter ribbon, this black ink, and put it that image on the paper. But this is an inch and a half wide, man. Now, here's the point. Here's something that will interest you. Here's something that interests me. It's just a way of life. It's a fact. As I was sitting there crying, and I lit up a doob, as I'm sitting there doing that, and I'm drinking peppermint schnapps that I mixed with hot chocolate, and I've also mixed it with milk. I also have Coca-Cola with milk. It's really good. Good shit. I started crying. I started crying, man, like when I crashed in my ultralight aircraft and that chick was standing right there. We ended up fucking. There she was standing right there when I crashed into a pond. It was maybe a foot or 18 inches deep in the woods of Michigan. And she's standing right there like an angel. I started crying then when I started to fuck her in a back building. Her family owns this marijuana wholesaler company that grows marijuana up here in Upper Michigan. And I started crying while I was bawling her. It was the same crying. I don't know why. Something let loose, the hope, dreams, desire. I got in contact with what I really am or something like that. I just fell apart. I started crying when I did something with the typewriter ripping. I started crying, man, bawling like crazy. I never bawled when I was in Vietnam. They used to bump chicks. They'd fucking chase a rope that was connected to our fucking helicopter. We dragged the rope that had a dildo connected to the end of it. All the VC, all these chicks would grab it, climb up the rope. We'd make them blow us. We'd pump them and then throw them right out the other door. I never started crying with that. They went crying 300 feet down. You never seen nothing like it. The Viet Cong, the chicks and all that, they could flap their way back down to the rice paddy and they weren't hurt at all. And they even had a fucking fistful of cum in their box. It was like they liked it, like they were fucking invincible. That's how they were, man, hanging out in fucking tunnels and shit. You couldn't take them down. Just kept coming. I started crying. I know you can't imagine Norm Augustine's crying, but I do. I cry all the time. I cry all the time. Sometimes I'm in the woods, I'm walking. I got my fucking Glock out. I got my fucking German Luger out. They're masterpieces. And I'm looking at it, and I just start crying as I'm walking with my Superman cape out and my goddamn big dick. I don't know what my place is, what my position is. I'm walking around the trees, things much bigger than I am, looking at trees, looking at bald eagle nest, and I just fucking, sometimes I just stop and drop my fucking guns, I drop my booze, I drop my bag of marijuana that's in a leather wampum, like a wampum bag, I drop that, and I just start crying. I even let loose my fucking Superman cape that the chick made me in New York City when she thought I was a viable candidate to be married to her, a viable husband. Oh boy, did she find out I wasn't. She didn't want nothing to do with that. I even left my fucking, my ultralight aircraft up in New York City. She even shipped it back to me, and she thought there's still hope in this. I could still save this relationship. How could she have lived with me? It's not possible. There's not a cunt in the world that could get a grip on you like that. There's not tits in the world that could get a grip on you like that. Ultimately, a man knows who he is. Ultimately, a man will sit alongside a lake or on a bench or in his back room looking out the window when it's raining out, and he'll say this to himself. I don't need that. I know who the fuck I am for the first time in my life. I'm going to go out there with my flat panel screen. I've got my Jets pizza. I'm going to go out there to eat pizza. I'm going to be in my reclining fucking lazy boy chair, and I'm going to beat my meat. And a second later, I don't care if goddamn Raquel Welch is reanimated and she's 16 years old and she walks through my door. Because you know you are. You've finally got a grip. That's the one thing you've learned. So I started crying. I cry all the time, man. I could play you a tape right now of me crying all the time, except it's on reel-to-reel. Who in the fuck has a reel-to-reel with somebody that's a person's crying on it for about 2 hours? It's a reel-to-reel. It's a tape on a reel-to-reel recording thing. It looked like something Elvis used when he was making a song in 1975. It's same goddamn play, same recorder, everything. I got a reel-to-reel tape of me crying. Now, where will that go? What's the point of it? Where do I do with it? Hey, you want this? To John, I leave my fucking reel-to-reel tape of me crying for 3 hours. It's in the bottom drawer of my chest. Take a look at it, next to the shrinking cream that I never really got to fully use, the industrial shrinking cream for extremely huge and stretched out cunts. Never got to use that. Never got that far off. Never swayed that far out of society where I was now fucking scum. Big stretched out simp walking around with her fucking hoagie sandwich aiming her pussy at you and think that's enough to pull you and think that's enough for you to fucking commit to her fucking living with you and your house, your foundations, your fucking savings accounts, your investments. It's not enough. Get out of here. Click, click. So I started crying. And I started crying because of something that I could smell. I could smell it. Yeah, I was in the woods. I was around an old foundation. The woods smell very outdoorsy. There's all kinds of stuff composting. There's trees rotting. There's leaves rotting. There's water running everywhere. They've been like that for hundreds of fucking years there. And of course it has this odor. That's what it is. Doesn't try to be anything other than what it is. And I started to smell something. And what did I smell? When I went down to the typewriter ribbon, I smelled pussy. I smelled pussy on the purest level. Now, I've been around a billion cunts. Now, here's what people will tell you. Those who talk about it don't get it. Those who get it, those who don't talk about it get it all the time. That is such bullshit. You ever hear anybody say that? Poke them both in the eyes with your fucking, your pointer finger and your middle and your next middle finger. It's such bullshit. I never heard nothing like it. Those who talk about it don't get it. Those who get it all the time. Those who talk about it don't get it. Those who get it don't talk about it. Those who, whatever the fuck it is, that's what it is. But that's not me. And I could smell pussy coming off the inch and a half typewriter ribbon. And when I went down to it, oh my gosh, it was like the Lord came down in front of me. He came down in front of me. He was talking to me. He knew my goddamn name. It all made sense for that second. I could smell pussy from somebody that was around in 1881 who bought the 1881 Crandall typewriter with the keys with the inlaid mother of pearl. It was like that. I could smell pussy from these people, this woman. And I felt home. It wasn't like all the pussy I've smelled today. I'll be honest with you. Pussy today, if you're going to smell it, good goddamn luck. How could that pussy smell like anything but fucking rubbish? It can't. Not even for a fortnight of scrubbing it and douching it out with a douchebag with vinegar and whatever else you want to put in it. Pussy today is corrupt. It's gone fucking rogue. It should be nuked from orbital. Pussy today is dangerous because it's had so much dick in it since 14 and all the foreign fucking objects. There's even calluses inside their cunt. There's scoring marks inside their cunt. And did you know this? The chick you're around, you have any idea that there's probably 30 to 50 fucking mattresses all over the United States that she's fucked on and there's stains on it. It's being used somewhere. It's in a garage sale. It's in someone's basement. It's some fucking flea market. It's in a flop house. It's in some housing community, some hot housing, something like that. Somebody may have even bought it and it's in their bedroom on the second floor. That's her bed. That's her mattress and it's got cum stains all over it. That's what you're in love with, fuckstick. You could take those stains off that bed. And you could put them all together. You could put them all. You can cut them out. You put them on a board, whatever it is. She's fucked on these 40, 50 mattresses. You put them on a big, long fucking diorama or something like that, some big board, and you could put the circles there. They would mean something to somebody who reads hieroglyphics, some subconscious thing, some admission, some pure thing that's never been found before. These circles mean something. They're not accidental. When Jackson Pollock would drop paint onto a fucking canvas, he said this, "I deny any accident." It's the same thing with a woman's pussy. They asked him, how can you control the drops? I deny the accidental drop. I deny that. It's the same thing with her cunt. The stains on the fucking mattresses of the chick you're with, they're not accidental. They're deliberate. They're that shape for a fucking reason. There she is. There you are. Hey, you want to go over fucking get a Jet's pizza? You want Little Caesar's pizza? Let's go get, you want to get that? You should get out of there. Get in your F-250, your nitrous oxide, turn it on, and get the fuck out of there, because what you're with, you wouldn't believe. Who she's banged, you wouldn't believe. It's not fathomable to understand the dark fucking recesses of her mind and the things she's done. It's not like when you're with me. It's not like when you're with your fucking friends, is it? You know them. You know what they are. You got a candy bar and a Coca-Cola and you're sitting on the curb. There's you and your friend. You understand that. No bitch can understand that. The horror, the darkness. It'd be like a 10-20-day acid trip that you can't recover if you were to look into her fucking eyes and see the things she's seen. There she is. She's got such beautiful fucking eyes. Really? Those are dick eyes. All they've seen is dick since she was 14 years old. They've absorbed this, and it's burned into the back of her fucking eye. That's what they used to think. It's burned back there, one dick after another. Hey, you want to go to Walmart? I want to buy a loaf of bread, and I thought we'd get some fucking fixings to make some chimichangas, to make some fucking burritos. We're going to get some refried beans. You want? Hey, fuck that. You're with something sick, man. You're with something out of control. She's having a hard time behaving for you while she's in front of you, presenting herself the way you want her. She wants you to see her. So I could smell pussy on the keys of the 1881 Crandall. Strong, pure pussy. Strong and pure. So I took the ribbons off. That's how good a shape this was. I took the ribbons off. I dusted off. There was some the green stuff that grows on trees, the mold or whatever it is, algae growing on trees. And I took that off. And I had the ribbons right next to me, right in front of where pretty much like where I'd be laying on my side. And I was like being comforted by the ribbons, this inch and a half ribbon filled with a stench of pussy, filled with a fucking woman, the entity that was around this thing in 1881. It was like she was with me, like we were having a relationship. I fell asleep with a ribbon only 2 inches from my fucking nose as I was smelling pure pussy. It was like smelling ivory soap when they used to first make ivory soap. The purity, the 99.9% purity of the soap. It was like that. Not the scoundrels, not the fucking people who should be beheaded. These chicks I've been around, the stench of what's in their hole. The story of their goddamn hole. Not that. The stink and the story and the treachery and the fucking absolute fright night, man, of what you're with, of the stink. I was smelling purity on this goddamn inch and a half ribbon that they took off the 1881 Crandall with the inlaid mother of pearl keys. I was where I was supposed to be. That was what was making me cry. I was home, man. I was with my friend when he was 14 years old, and we walk around town in Utica, Michigan, and we buy a Mounds bar, and we buy a Coca-Cola, and it was all pure and all good. I was there, man. We'd walk in the tunnel that's here that goes under the expressway, and we'd laugh, and we'd take a spray can, and we'd sit in the fucking bridge, and we'd look at the water, and we'd see the fish below it. I was there again, man. I was where every fucking man wishes he could go right now. I was there, just by smelling this typewriter ribbon, the purity of it, the pure stench of her pussy. It wasn't projecting sin, it wasn't projecting horror, it wasn't transmitting all the fucking things that you couldn't even imagine that she's done. It was a projector of light coming off the goddamn typewriter ribbons, a projection of hope of what people once were or maybe could be. My friend, Kevin Springer. I'm pulling him in a wagon. He weighed 250 pounds when he was 12 years old. He thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. He couldn't stay in the wagon. Where the fuck did that go? I'll tell you where it went. The chick, man. They come through here like a goddamn giant tidal wave, and they destroyed everything in your path. They don't even let you think like you used to think. It's gone. It's destroyed. You're not allowed to do that anymore. You can't be that. You'll be what she tells you you are. You work in a place that's fucking permeated with a Democrat worker. You will change slowly, but you won't notice it. It happened to me, man. It's happened to me. So I fell asleep. I fell asleep with a typewriter ribbon, the inch and a half typewriter ribbon, embedded with all these fucking engrams, the DNA of the chick that used it, the stench of her pussy trapped in it. It was like a pussy I've never smelled. It wasn't something that you would reel back from like a pussy today. A pussy today you reel back from. You know what they say, what you've been told? If something smells bad, pull away, get away from it. Nobody goes towards dog shit. Do they? Nobody goes towards an old tampon. Nobody goes towards a diaper filled with shit with flies all over it. And that's what the pussy could be today. You reel back and you say, why? Why am I selling out? Why am I doing this? Why can't I fucking get a grip on who I am? What the fuck am I doing? What have I become? As she sprays you like a goddamn some type of spraying monster. As she marks you, sprays you, and it sinks deep within your DNA, deep within the core of your bones, the marrow, and you're never going to be the same again. Eat me out, motherfucker. Eat me out, motherfucker. Go down there, motherfucker. Man, I don't want to go down there. Nobody wants to go down there. Please don't go down there. It's not like the pussy I smelled on the 1881 Crandall fucking typewriter with the inlaid mother of pearl and the keys. This piece of work, this magic, this craftsmanship, this godlike tool, it was so much more. I fell asleep, man. I fell asleep smelling her pussy. It was strong, like she was laying right next to me. I could imagine her. I could vision her. I could feel her in my presence. I fell asleep next to it. And it was comforting. The first fucking time in my life, maybe the second time in my life, I felt like I belonged. I felt like there was something more. I felt like there was something pure out there. Not some fucking stomping, marching sluts coming at you to destroy you and everything you are. And they will do that to you. It was the purity that I've never smelled before. It was the best sleep that I've ever goddamn had. Maybe you never will have. I said to myself this at that point, do I want to give this up, man? Why did I tell fucking Rapalunge of the Detroit Health Department about my findings, about what I surmised, about my possible imaginings, the possibilities of this typewriter? Why did I do that? Here, if I sealed it into an airtight, hermetically sealed box, here I could reach and go back to something pure at my will, whenever I needed to come back, whenever I needed to feel whole again. Why did I want to sell this right away? I was part of the problem. I realize that now. There was a problem there. I was astray. I had veered off the fucking path. I was heading to fucking Willoughby or some shit like that. I understood it. When I woke up, man, I felt good. I felt so damn good. It was like I took 7 Xanax pills, like I did that. Felt that good, that relaxed. Somehow the purity of what this bitch was, I unearthed it, and it stayed with me. It came into me. I put that thing in a Saran wrap bag. I put it in a Saran wrap bag, man. I sparked up a fucking dupe, a 97% THC Pinconning paralyzer, only grown in Michigan, and I had a whole new fucking new entries into the fucking Bible of Norm Augustinus, a new thing. It was wonderful. It is wonderful. The fact that I found this. The forest is aplenty with things like that. It's unending. The riches that are there. Some chick coming towards you. She's gone through 5,000-6,000 pairs of panties with stains, cum stains, blood stains. Where are they? They're in a dump. They're in a landfill creating creatures that one day will rebel and will pay for it. The more dick, the better you are as a female. The higher in esteem you are as a female, according to her and her friends. Maybe one day, I'm not sure. As I approach old age, I'll sell sections of the ribbon around the world. I'll sell these, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000, so that they can experience what I experience when I smell this fucking ribbon with a trapped stench of pussy into it. I hate to use the word stench with regards to this ribbon because it was godlike. It was like lilacs, like lilies. That's what came off of it, mixed with pussy. The purity, man. The goddamn purity. Man, it had to be a fucking experience, fucker.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
Oh.
mean it to Big Clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Patty, the other day I was walking to my car, and just before I pulled open my car door, I spotted an old cigar box lying by the curb near the rear passenger side tire of my vehicle. As you know, I love smoking cigars. It was an exciting find. I imagined that the cigar box was chock full of Cuban cigars. I saw myself sitting on my patio alone at night, smoking a Cuban cigar as I looked up at the stars. I pictured my friend sitting with me on the deck of my pontoon boat, and we were all smoking the Cuban cigars as we laughed aloud and told stories. Between puffs, I saw myself taking a snort of bourbon from a stainless steel flask that looks like a rainbow trout. I picked up the cigar box, and I got into my car and pulled the cigar box lid open. Patty, the cigar box wasn't filled with expensive Cuban cigars. The cigar box was filled with 6 or 7 pairs of soiled women's panties. The panties had been rolled up, and 2 zip ties were holding them together. I used my cigarette lighter to melt the zip ties, and then I examined the stained panties. Panties were covered in old cum stains. Some of the elastic waistbands were torn off. and some of the fluting around each leg opening of the panty was missing also. Additionally, it looked as though someone had taken a blowtorch to the cotton ventilated panels of the cum panties and burned 2.5-inch in diameter holes into them. All the holes were charred black around the inside perimeter of the holes that had been burned into the crotches of the panties. I guess a white-hot dick destroyed the panties long ago when some unknown woman was wearing them and she took the dick. When the panties were removed from the cigar box, I found a 4x5 black and white photograph of a naked woman on all fours. She was smiling a big toothy smile, and there was a Labrador Retriever on top of her. The Labrador Retriever was humping the smiling woman with his dog penis from the rear. Someone wrote the words,
"Suck the snotty out of my fuck stick,"
using a black permanent marker inside the cigar box. The dog had an odd expression on his face that made me think it understood what it was doing. It was kind of scary and unexpected, but you don't see cursive writing anymore, and that added some value to my otherwise worthless cigar box discovery. Patty, overall, it was a disappointing find that I tossed out the passenger side window of my car as I drove past a Hallmark Gold Crown card shop. I gotta go. I've got errands to run. I enjoyed chatting with you. Write me back if and when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the fudge shop on Mackinac Island. I didn't know your big-titted little sister worked at the fudge shop. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she laid down on the special fudge-making 3-inch-thick granite table, and she pulled her knees back to her ears. When I got to the special 3-inch-thick fudge-making granite table, your big-titted little sister was grinning and aiming her cunt and brown eye right at me. So I ate out your big-titted little sister, and I gave her a rim job, too. When I was done rimming your big-titted little sister's asshole, we 69'd one another, and then we bawled one another as she sang "Having My Baby" by Paul Anka. When the both of us came, your big-titted little sister hung the closed sign on the fudge shop door, and we watched The Wizard of Oz on the fudge shop wall-mounted 4K TV as we smoked weed and drank down a bunch of 12-ounce cans of Mountain Dew sweetened with real sugar.
Unlock the door and let me and my daughter in. We saw you through the fudge shop window. My kid and myself would very much like to be eaten out and rimmed. Also, we like fudge too. Open this goddamn door. Rim us now.
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, right now we're selling cigar boxes filled with old, dry-rotting pairs of cum panties. You heard right, cum panties. These are genuine Cuban cigar boxes filled with old, stretched-out girls' panties that were once worn by a long-dead, horny, big-racked woman. Girls, these panties are wallpapered with thick, petrified cum stains shot from the cock of a deceased, hugely hung American man. It's true, everyone loves getting a cigar box filled with ancient panties coated in sheets of dead cum. Christmas is only a few short months away. These cigar boxes make a great gift. Honey, when you hand one of these panty-filled cigar boxes to a man, he'll know you're serious about getting and giving extreme torso pleasure. And when he's done examining the cum panties that are inside the cardboard cigar box, he'll fuck you on the spot. Hurry, get a cigar box filled with old cum panties now. Each cigar box is guaranteed to smell like pussy when it's first opened. Only $29.95. Come on up to the counter now and get your cum panties and Cuban cigar box now. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit into the face of the buyer for this store, Jane Morgan. Miss Phelps was eyeballing the ass and ball sag of our young bookkeeper riding in front of her on the escalator when her asshole suddenly opened and gave way. Mandy wears miniskirts and doesn't wear panties, so when Mandy shit, it went point blank into the sagging, wrinkled face of our store buyer, Jane Morgan, who was riding on the escalator directly behind my assistant, Mandy Phelps. Mandy is extremely horny.
Every night I cry myself to sleep because I want dick so badly. When I dream, I see rock-hard dicks. and unending powerful streams of jism shooting out of the throbbing dick head. Before I go to work, I stuff 25 pounds of Play-Doh into my cunt, so that it feels like there's a dick lodged inside my hungry pussy. If the world ends and I live, I'm going to suck and fuck every dead bastard that I come across. Someone come up to the counter right now and skewer my fuck hole with your cock.
Dick. Dick. Dick.
Now.
My assistant Mandy Phillips also has irritable bowel syndrome.
This morning I walked out to the mailbox and I unexpectedly filled my panties up with 3 or 4 pounds of my shit just before I pulled open the mailbox door. When I ordered my Starbucks drink at lunch, I suddenly pumped out a bucket full of bubbling diarrhea. It went down my pant leg, so I used a couple of their fresh loaves of bread and I mopped my shit up, and then I kicked the shit-soaked loaves of bread under the glass cookie display case. I shit when I'm getting eaten out, and I shit when I'm giving head. Last Christmas, I shit all over the presents under our Christmas tree. I can't stop shitting. I'm shitting right now as I speak into this microphone. Please help me, you piss ant bastards.
Is there anyone in the store that has a battery-powered vacuum in their car so that Mandy can vacuum the shit out of the escalator steps? This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck!
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.